And now, today's word.
The second word you'll find in Isaiah 45 verse 8 is the word form, that God forms. God forms. The Hebrew word is yatzar, and it means to form, to mold, or to fashion something. And this word is used several times, especially in Genesis chapter 1 and many times in the Bible. But I like how Isaiah puts it. Isaiah used bara for the heavens and yatzar for the earth. God created the heavens and formed the earth. In other words, God created the universe, and out of the universe formed this terra firma that we live on called earth. The word formed is very, very important. It means that God can make new things out of what he has already made. God can make new things out of what he has already made. That word is used for the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2. God formed man from the dust of the earth. He didn't create man from the dust of the earth, but he formed man. Why does the Bible use form? Because the earth was there already. The dust was there already. God has already created the dust. And then out of what he has already created, he forms something new. That means that God's work is not finished just by one action. He can start something in your life, and then he can form something new out of what he has already done in your life. God can start from nothing and do something. But after he has done something, he can take that something and do something else with it. He can form, he can fashion, he can mold. So God is not just the one who brings things out of nothing, but he can also take what has already been done and do something new with it. When we sing the song, "Do something new in my life, something new," we don't mean God create me again. God, you've already made me, but I want you to take this life and mold it into something else and do something fresh, something new, something awesome in my life. God can take what is already existing in your life and mold it differently. And the interesting thing about the yatzar that the Bible uses here is that, you know, it formed animals, formed plants, form human beings. In other words, what God forms is not the same. He can do different things out of the same raw material. He can do strange things, beautiful things, awesome things out of the same source. God is able to do things out of nothing. But after he has done that, he can take what he has done and mold something new out of it. The third word that Isaiah uses is close to the word yatzar. It's asar. Asar, it means to make, to do, to work, to perform. It has a slightly different implication. In other words, it means that God can make things happen. God can make things happen. God can work in your life and make things happen. It's not only in terms of the material things. He can make day and night. And day and night is not physical. He can make things happen in my life. So he can create things out of nothing. He can take what he has done and do something new with it. And then he can make things happen. So for example, when we say, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will make a way where there is no way. Now, when we say God will make a way, we don't mean that he will create something physical. It's not physical. God making a way for me is not that he would actually go and cut a path like a contractor does. We just mean that God will create opportunity for me. God will turn things around for me. So the God who can create physical things can also make things happen in your life. Where there is no way, he will make a way. When you are down, he can lift you up, because God can asar. He can fashion things. He can make things happen. And may God cause things to happen in your life. So look at the three senses in which God works. He can make things out of nothing. He can take the things he has made out of nothing and do something new for them. And then he can make a way. He can make things happen for the thing that he has made. So when God makes you, he also makes a way for you. He creates a path for you. God can make things happen. And the fourth word that Isaiah uses is the word kun. In the Hebrew, it means to establish. God establishes. It means to be instituted, to be unshaken, to be prepared. God makes things be. But he also establishes what has been made. In other words, after he had created the heavens and the earth, he has formed it. He has made a path for the earth. And those who study astronomy will talk about the orbits within which every created thing moves in. Every created thing moves in a prescribed orbit. Whether it's a galaxy, it's a planet, it's a sun, it's a star, they have to move in a path that God creates for them. In the same way, when God creates us, he establishes us. He establishes us. What does it mean? It means that he gives us what is required to sustain us. He sustains what he has made. When God created the heavens and the earth, he gave the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, laws of cause and effect, every law required to sustain what he has done, he puts it in place. So when we say God is a creator, it has serious implications. And I'm going to talk about three of those implications, and then I'll be done for today. Three implications of God being omnipotent and creator. The first is that God is my creator, maker, and owner. God is my creator, maker, and owner. Let's say it together. Maker and owner. This is serious. And that's why he has rights on you. You belong to him. You didn't make yourself. And not only did God create us, God did not create us and leave it by the wayside, but he also owns us. And the thing about ownership is that the owner can do whatever he wants to do with the thing that he has made. And God can do anything with you. Anything. Your life is his. He owns us. We don't own ourselves. And he doesn't want us to give our ownership to anything else. That's why he says, you shall have no other gods besides me. If you make something else your God, that is the only time God says, I'm a jealous God. He didn't say, I'm an envious God. He says, I'm a jealous God. Jealous means I protect what I have, what is mine. I protect it. And I protect it with every force at my disposal. So if you go and make somebody else or something else your God, God has to step in and correct it because you are his property. Don't give ownership of your life to any God, and neither should you give ownership of your life to any human being. Don't give the ownership of your life to any human being, not to your pastor, not to your wife, not to your husband, not even to your parents. Parents have responsibility, but they are not owners. That's why a parent cannot look at a child and say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. Because if the parent kills the child, it's murder. Why? Because he's not an owner. As a matter of fact, you don't own yourself. You kill yourself, it's a crime. If we had the chance, we will imprison you. We call it suicide. It's a crime. You can't. Why? Because you don't own yourself. If you own yourself, we'll say suicide is fine. But if you kill yourself, we should imprison you. Why? You don't own yourself. Husbands, you don't own your wives. Wives, you don't own your husbands. Parents, you don't own your children. Pastors, you don't own the flock. Who is the owner? God. Why is he the owner? Because he's the creator and the maker. And he's the only one who can say, I own this. God owns me. I'm God's property. He has put his mark on me. He's put his image on me. In modern times, we say his brand. You know, if you bought an Armani suit, Armani will put his brand in the suit. He'll put a mark, and wherever people see that suit, they'll know this is Armani suit. You bought it, but it's Armani suit. Armani is the owner of this suit. He's loaned it to you for $1,000, but he's the owner. In the same way, when you check your life, at the back of your neck somewhere, there is a brand that says, Jehovah owns you. God owns you. You are God's property. He's your maker and he's your owner forever. God owns us. And that is why when people want to mess with you, he protects you. And somebody says, God, kill him. God says, are you crazy? That's my property. You want me to kill my own children? No. That's for another day. So God is my creator, maker, and owner. Secondly, I am here because God wants me to be here. I didn't choose to come to the earth. We are not here by accident. God willed our existence. He determined that we should be born. Your parents may think they brought you, but God used them. That's why no matter who your parents are, you have to know who your owner is. You have to know who your owner is. If I go to find an Armani suit at the wayside with nobody claiming ownership of it, I still know who is the owner because his image has been branded. An Armani suit or a top suit, if it's thrown away, still has value. Don't ever say people dump me, people have thrown me out, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me. But you have an owner. You have an owner. And the owner decided that you should be born. And he decided you should be born at the time you were born. If he had not willed it, you would never be born. Yes. If God says, I don't want you, you won't come. You are here because he wants you. And he wants you because he has a purpose and a use for you. I am here because God wants me to be here. Final implication. God is continually working in me to make me fit for his purpose. The Creator doesn't just do one work. He continues to do his work in our lives. So that even when I mess up, God does not just take me and kick me and say, oh, this is a wasted product. He takes me and remolds me. When you go wrong, God takes you and remolds you. You lose your way, he creates another way for you because he's a way maker. God, your creator, doesn't just create you, but he creates the environment and space you live in. And he creates the opportunities that come your way. And he creates the times and seasons of your life so that you were made by him and you live in his ecosystem. It is in him we live and move and have our being. We don't just have our being in him. We live in him and we move in him. Listen, your life is not an accident. There is a plan that has already been fixed in the unseen, and it is manifesting in your life. All you need to do is to say, Lord, let your perfect will be done in my life. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand what is happening, but I know, Lord, that you have a plan for my life, and my life is going according to plan. And that is what we learn when we know God as creator. Father, this morning we pray that each one of us will know you as the creator, not only of our lives, but also of the world we live in, of the path we follow. For you have made a path for us. You have opened a way for us. I pray, Father, for each one, that we will find value in our lives and we'll find purpose in the opportunities that you give to us, that no one of us would live a life of despair and hopelessness, thinking that all is lost, but that in you we'll find meaning and purpose and direction. And I pray for you, that God who created you would also order your paths, that if you've lost your way, you will see the new way he has opened for you. That if people have thrown you out, you see the hand of God bringing you in, because your creator never abandons you. In life and in death, he is your creator forever. And he will lead and guide you in the way that you should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.